Bring in some Africa today. Well, hey, it's great to have you here with us this morning. And if it's your first time with us, my name's Kurt. It's great to meet you here this morning. We're in week three of the series, Margin. And that line at the end of the song there, we're going to take some time to do the things we never have. This is what we're going to be talking about today. How do we build in, maybe not the things that we haven't had, but the things that are most important in our life? How do we make margin to make sure we don't miss those? And along with that, we're going to be giving you a picture today of a partnership that we have just begun with the Village Project Africa, which is part of how that song ties in, which you'll hear more about later this morning, and what God is doing through the Village Project and how we get a chance to be a part of it. But in order to participate in some things, we have to have margin in our lives to be a part of things that touch things beyond ourselves. So really excited you're here today. Let me pray for us as we get going. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you that on a beautiful Sunday morning, we can come into a dark room and we can go after something. And God, all of us are here for different reasons, and yet one of the amazing things that happens is you connect with us wherever we are, whether we're here every week, whether we're here for the first time. And God, today we're going to continue to go after these countercultural ideas that you call us to, things that kind of go against the norm that actually bring increased life and fulfillment into our lives. So God, I just pray that you would guide us, direct us. As we think and process today, help us to see things in our lives that we've never seen. Help us to be able to say yes to some things, no to some things, so that we can actually experience that fuller life, because we know that's what you want for us. And so we just pray these things according to your name, Jesus, and your identity. Amen. Well, last week, we had a really cool experience for a number of our leaders here at Cross Point. You may have, others of you may have participated in this thing called the Global Leadership Summit. And it's just one of my favorite conferences of the year that happens all throughout the world. It's based out of Chicago and videocast all throughout the world. And at the Global Leadership Summit, I heard about this experiment that was done where they took a group of graduate students and basically gave them a topic that they were to speak on, and they told them to arrive at a lecture hall at a designated time prepared to talk on that topic. And so as a part of this experiment, one of the things that happened is as those graduate students were making their way to the lecture hall, right before they arrived at the hall, there was kind of this planned interruption. The graduate students didn't know it was planned, but as a part of this experiment, somebody presented that student on their way into the lecture hall with a desperate human need. They kind of interrupted the student, said, "Hey, I need you to help me. Can you help me right now?" And the graduate student was faced with the decision of whether or not they were going to stop and address that need or not. Now, I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to just give them a number. I want you to tell them what percentage of graduate students you think actually stopped to help that person in need. So I'll give you about 10 seconds to do that. Ready, set, go. Give them a number between 0 and 100. All right. Now, how many of you said a high number, like 80% or higher? You said, I probably think 80% of those students or more. Okay, awesome. We have some optimists in the room. How many of you said, you know, like really low, 20% or less? All right, yeah. How many of you were kind of in the middle, like 20 to 80%, somewhere in there, you're in the middle of the bell curve? Yeah. Now, what's fascinating about this is some Canadians were told about this recently, and the whole room agreed it was like 90%, all right? Because probably in Canada it was. Unfortunately, this was not done in Canada. It was done in the United States. And so the number of graduate students that stopped to actually meet that human need when they had a place they were supposed to be was 10%. 10%. Now, what's fascinating about this is these weren't any graduate student. These were actually seminary students who were studying to go into the ministry. And the topic they were given to talk on was the parable of the Good Samaritan, which is about someone who is on their way to something important, and this Samaritan, this man actually stopped to help the Samaritan who was in need. Now, something else that's really fascinating about this experiment is in the first run of this experiment, these students were interrupted on their way to the lecture hall 5 minutes before their call time, 5 minutes before they were to be there, and 10% of them actually stopped. The rest of them said, "I don't have time for this," and went on. They ran a second study, and in the second one, they actually interrupted the students earlier in their journey toward the lecture hall 20 minutes before they were to be there, and that number rose to 50% of the students who stopped to help the person in need. Now, what's interesting about this is, you know, don't get hung up on the fact that these are seminary students or future pastors, though you might be concerned about that. But the seminary students are us in this story. And what I want us to see in this is that the busyness of our lives oftentimes prevents us from seeing the needs and stepping in to address the needs and be the solution of things that are happening right around us every single day. So the big idea for this series, margin, is that when you make margin, your life gets better. But guess what? We become so much better at life when we have margin in our lives. And if you're here for the first time today, you've missed the first 2 weeks, man, we're so glad you're here. Let me give you kind of a general definition of margin. Margin is basically the amount of time or whatever you need available beyond what is necessary. Or the definition we've been using is margin is the difference between what you have and what you need. All right, so margin, we'd be having more than enough time. All right, margin would be able would mean you have time to stop and help someone in need if you feel like it's a need you can meet instead of freaking out and be like, oh my gosh, I'm late, I'm not going to get where I need to be. That's margin. All right, margin would be having enough time to listen to your children instead of, hearing them, but not really hearing them because you have the background, of work going in the back of your mind. Margin would be being able to be interrupted and you consider that a good thing. Oh man, I'm glad that interruption came into my life instead of being frustrated by it. Margin would be having time to invest our lives in things that are bigger than us, things like volunteering, giving our life away to serve others, living a selfless life that's beyond just being consumed with the here and the now. And so, margin for many of us is something that we just don't have. And so we're going to take a look at Ephesians today, and Ephesians is written by the Apostle Paul. You can find this in the Crosspoint app if you want to go to this week and hit this week's verse. It'll take you right to Ephesians 5. And I always have to pause when we talk about Paul, because Paul, if you're somebody here for the first time or you're kind of checking out church and you're not sure about the whole church, God, religion thing, you're going to like Paul, because Paul wasn't either. Paul actually didn't start out as a Christian. He actually hated Christians in his former life. He was against Christians. He was trying to kill Christians. He was, trying to snuff out the church movement of the first century until he became one. And he had this like really dramatic moment where all of a sudden, God kind of met him and he began to see that, oh my gosh, God is real and Jesus did live and he did die and he was resurrected figuratively, but also historically and literally and spiritually from the grave. And if that happened, it changes everything. And so out of that, Paul began to plant new churches, and he began to follow God with his life. He actually wrote more than half of the New Testament. And so, if you're not sure about the whole God thing, understand Paul gets it, man. He's been there. So here's what Paul says in Ephesians 5, his letter to the Christians in Ephesus. He says, be very careful. And so he's giving us a warning right here. He's saying, hey, there's some landmines out there. I'm trying to give you a heads up on some of the things you might fall into that are going to be, have some consequences to them. Be very careful. Be very careful how you live. He's like, be careful what you do, because there's going to be this constant pull in your life that takes you off of center, off of what's most important in your life. It's kind of like if you've ever driven a car that's out of alignment, and as you drive, it just naturally like pulls you one direction and you have to fight it to stay center. He says, that's how things in our world go. There's so many distractions that you're just going to be pulled off center by even very good things at times, but you're pulled off from the best things. You've got to fight that to stay center and focus on the things that are most important. He says, be very careful then how you live, how you plan, what you say yes to and what you say no to, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Now he's not saying, oh, tomorrow's evil, be afraid of it. He's just saying there are things that will pull you away from the best things every single day. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So he's saying, be very careful. Be very careful how you live. In our culture and all of its demands, there are things that are going to pull you off center. 2 weeks ago, we looked at a story of Mary, Martha, and a moment when Jesus stopped by their house. And Martha was so busy that she actually was distracted by very good things. But what were the things that were distracting her? She was pulled away from the best thing in that moment. She was pulled away by the very same thing you and I are pulled away by every day. It says she was pulled away by all the things she had to do. In fact, one of my favorite authors, teachers, communicators, Andy Stanley, he wrote a book. It's called The Best Question Ever. And in this book, the best question in this book is kind of sums up the essence of the whole book, but it really is hugely applicable to this whole idea of how do we create margin in our lives. And so he says, say for instance, I were to say to you, hey, can you help me with so-and-so next weekend? And our natural response whenever we get a request on something is we naturally go to our calendar, right? Let me look at my calendar. Let me see what my week looks like. That's our default mode. Our default question is, am I free? Are we free? And if the answer to that that question is yes, then I'm like, sure, I'm happy to jump in and help you with whatever it is next weekend. All right, so we answer the question, you know, we look at you know, a situation we're posed with, we ask the question, are we free? Now, that's not a bad question, but it's not the best question. All right, another question or two might be, is it right or is it wrong? You know, you might be asked, you know, to consider something, and we next go to the default, well, is that right? And if it's right, then I probably should do it, even though I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway out of obligation, which never is a good idea, because then you don't really put your whole life into it. Or we ask the question, is it wrong? And we say, well, if it's wrong, maybe I shouldn't do it, or it's wrong, but I really want to do it, so I'm going to do it anyway. But nonetheless, you know, we use these three questions: am I free, is it right, is it wrong, is some of our primary, you know, filters for what we add and don't add to our life. But there's a better question. And the better question is it wise? Is it wise? See, this question's a game changer. And so I want you to write down this next question in your notes, or, you know, if you type it to yourself or text to yourself, however you take notes. I want you to think about this question this week. In light of blank, is it wise? Is it wise to add this to my life? And what I want to encourage us to do this week is I want to encourage you to, as you think about making decisions with your time and what you say yes to, what you say no to, I want you to fill in the blank on this question right here and it, with whatever's most important in your life right now, whatever that thing is you're going after. So for instance, in light of our current family situation, whatever's going on in our family that I really want to be attentive to, is it wise to add this to my life? In light of the fact that we have, you know, two children in diapers in our home right now, is it wise to take this job that's going to take me out of the home increasingly more? Is it wise? Or, you know, in light of our marriage not being where I want it to be or where we really think God wants it to be, is it wise to take on a bigger mortgage and add more stress to our marriage? In light of the fact that our days are numbered, that we have a finite number of days that we live here on this earth, is it wise for me to add this to my life? In fact, Moses, he gives us some really interesting insight in Psalm 90. He says this, he says, teach us to number our days. Why? So we can gain a heart of wisdom. He's asking the same question. He's saying, we gotta use the filter. Is this wise? A week ago, here in Hamilton Southeastern, school began. We have four kids. All four kids went to school. I said to our oldest, Macy, who is a junior this year, I said, Macy, 104. First day of school, 104. And she said, what? I said, 104, 104 weeks. We have 104 weeks with you in our home. In 104 weeks, you're going to be going off to college, and you're gonna leave our home and be on life on your own. You know, we want to make the most of all of those 104, now 102 weekends, 102 weeks that we have left with her. We want to continue to build the foundation. We want to do things and to equip her. This is what Moses is saying. Teach us to number our days so that we may live out of a heart of wisdom. And so in light of having a 16-year-old in our home with 2 years left under our roof, is it wise for me to commit to things as a dad that takes me out of the home increasingly more? Or in light of the fact that we have a 16-year-old in our home with only 102 weeks now left before she's off on her own, what are some of the things we want to make sure are built into our schedule? What are some of the things that we want to make sure we have room for? I mean, this summer, one of the things we did is when we went to Africa, which we'll share more on in a couple moments, you know, we took her with us. I mean, I added it up. For Macy, we made a $3,000 investment in her spiritual life this summer. I mean, how many times do we think about the spiritual, the financial investment we make in the spiritual life of our kids? I mean, sometimes a friend that's like, whoa, that's not normal. I'm like, I know. We're not necessarily a normal family, and I can't do that every summer. But you know, we said, hey, we have 104 weeks left. We want to make sure we're laying a proper foundation. What are the things we want to include? What are the things we want to make sure we don't miss? What are the things we want to make sure we have time for? Is it wise? Not is it right, not, you know, am I free, am I not free, is it wrong? Is it wise? This question's a game changer. So how do we do this? How do we do this? How do we make sure we make time for the things that matter the most? Well, I want to give you kind of a guiding principle in a moment. Because I would venture to say that most of us when it comes to our scheduling of what we add to our life, we schedule foolishly instead of wisely. Or at times, we decline the things we really need to be adding that really are going to create long-term growth and connection and tie us into the eternal. But we look at our calendar and we just go, well, am I free? I'm not free. You know, we say, hey, we need some volunteers this weekend. You know, you interested in volunteering? Well, no, I'm not free for like 8 weeks. All right, well, you know, if we use that as the filter, you know, then we just kind of, whatever our life, the culture's pulling us makes our decisions as opposed to where's my life and what are the things I'm trying to get after? See, sometimes we miss what God wants to do in our life because we just go by the am I free question. And so culture just kind of pulls us with whatever the biggest pull is in our life, and then we wonder how we got where we got. So here's the guiding principle I want to give you this morning. All right, here's what we need to think about this week. I want to encourage you to have the courage this week to say no to many good things so that you can say yes to the best things. All right, so I want you to say no to what? Help me out right here. What's that say? Many good things. So you can say yes to what? The best things. Yeah, because see, I think too many times all the good things distract us from the best things. In fact, Paul again in Romans chapter 2, or chapter 12, here's what he tells us. He says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, meaning to the pull, whatever the biggest pull is on your life with the world around you. He says, be different. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change the way you think. Change the way, you know, think differently than the way the rest of culture is going. Don't be pulled like everyone else. He says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. What does this look like? Let me give you a few examples. You know, in our family and Team Walters, there's certain things that we do that others don't do, and there's certain things we don't do that others' families do, all right? And every now and then somebody goes, well, you guys are weird, and I'm like, well, thank you. I kind of like it when I hear that, you know, we're not necessarily the norm. Meaning there's certain things that we schedule into our lives or into our kids' lives that aren't the norm. And there's certain things we don't schedule or commit to that are the norm. And let me just be clear before I share some of these with you. This is not about, hey, do it like us. You know, we're the model family. We certainly have outages in our life, all right? It's just that we're very intentional about some of the things we commit to and don't commit to. See, there's certain things we will schedule intentionally into our kids' lives, right? Or into our lives. There's certain things that we won't schedule in. For instance, you know, I love that our kids serve here at Crosspoint. In fact, we want them serving as much as possible in our kids' environments. That's where kids serve around here. Once they reach age, fifth grade, to serve. Now, why are we so adamant about that? Not only so that they have something to do because they're here for two or three services a weekend, but the bigger thing is I want them understanding that the life of following God isn't coming and just sitting in a room. A life following God isn't just taking in information going, oh, that's good, I should try that. A life following God is taking what I'm growing in and actually applying my life because my life was created to be a blessing to others. I want them at a young age to develop a pathway of selflessness. How do you do that? Serving is a pathway. It leads us to seeing my life is not about me. It's about what blessing can I bring to somebody else. And so what that means is there's certain things we can and can't commit to on weekends. There's certain commitments we can't commit to because it takes them away from this environment. In fact, I had a friend of ours a number of years ago that said, you know, Kurt, you guys are going to have to get into like the travel sports culture at some point, you know, if your kids are going to be anybody in the sports system. I said, we can't do that. They said, that's not normal. I'm like, I know, I'm not going for normal. All right, plus I work all weekend. Because we have a different pathway that we're trying to cultivate. You know, for Julie and I, one of the things we do each year is we take, some of you have heard this before, we take two or three weekends away, just the two of us, as kind of a mom and dad weekend, a couple's weekend, not with anybody else. This is just the two of us, two, three times a year. And it's, sometimes it's just a short weekend, sometimes it's a night, sometimes it's 4 or 5 days away, sometimes it's a week away, just the two of us. And this is one of those things that, you know, every now and then somebody will look at us and they'll go, that's not normal. I mean, one, okay, two, okay, but three times, isn't that a little excessive? I'm like, it depends on what question you're asking, all right? I mean, if you're, you know, when I talk to other, you know, people that often are like, hey, my marriage is struggling, what can we do? I'll tell them about this. I'm like, this is a game changer for us. And oftentimes they'll say, well, I don't have time for that. I'm like, why do we say we don't have time for that? You have time for whatever you want to do. It's just what we choose to, you know, sometimes we say, I want other things more than I want that. See, we can choose how we use our time. And somebody wants to say, well, I mean, we choose to value our money. And I'm like, well, as if we don't. But see, it depends again on what question you ask. Is it right? I mean, you can make an argument either way. Is it wrong? Well, you could say, well, that's frivolous. You know, do I have time? Probably not. Am I free? Probably not. Is it wise? If I want a good marriage, yeah. It's one of the best things we do all year. People go, that's weird. I'm like, thank you. I'm not going for normal. In case you haven't noticed, normal's not working. I mean, what's normal in marriage today? Divorce, right? More than 50% of marriages end in divorce. What's normal with kids? Rebellion, right? It's one of the reasons we're so committed to our kids developing a pathway towards selflessness. What's normal relationally? Emptiness. You know, what's normal financially? Having no margin. Everything I bring, I use for me, my life, my dreams, my thing. I never get outside of myself and be generous with someone else. I think that's why God built in the tithe. So we can trust him and say, I'm going to give a part of what I have away. What's normal, you know, when it comes to my schedule? It's, you know, I'm miserable all the time. I'm so busy investing in what I do that I have no time for anything else because I just ask the question, am I free? Oh, I'm free. Okay, let me add that. See, if your life is like mine, you know, we're under a constant assault with things vying for our time, very good things vying for our time. I mean, I regularly have more travel opportunities to speak in places that take me away from the home, and I have to ask, is this wise in light of our current situation? You know, for you, you probably have opportunities to go after that bigger job, the bigger paycheck, which again comes with being gone, taking you out of some of the things that are most important. A few years ago, I was talking with one of my mentors, coaches, and I was just kind of saying, hey, there's so many opportunities. I don't know how to say no to some of these. And he's like, oh, let me pause you right there. Let me tell you how you do this. Here's how you do it. I said, okay. He said, you just go, no. Oh. He's like, no. I don't think you caught that. Let me show you again. He said, you just simply go, no. I'm like, well, don't you need like an explanation or like, no, that's good, but I can't. He said, no is a complete sentence. Have you ever thought of that? No is a complete sentence. Just no. No. Paul says, be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. In light of, you fill in the blank, whatever's most important to you right now, is it wise to add this to my life right now? So I'd venture to say we're being robbed of the fullness of life, not because we're not committed, but because we're overcommitted. And so here's what I want you to do this week. I want to dare you to have the courage to say no to things that most people are saying yes to, so that you have the freedom and the space to say yes to a few of the things that most people say no to. Like, it's one of our next steps this week. I want you to think through, what are some of the things I need to say no to this week that most people are saying yes to, so that you have the freedom to say yes to some of the things that most people are saying no to. I mean, I've said no to some very good things this week. I mean, it's every week. You know, is this something I want to add to my life? And I can tell you, saying no to some very good things actually allows us to tap into some of the best things. Now, I want to use this as a segue to talk about stepping into a bigger story. And part of the ways that we step into bigger things, you know, we tap into the eternal, is when we have space in our lives so we actually can respond to things outside of ourselves. So I want to introduce you to a woman who I've been inspired by over the last few months. In fact, I met her 20 years ago, but recently just got a huge glimpse into her life. I've been inspired by the way she gets out of the norm, by the way she actually, you know, works through that question, is this why? And it's touching and changing the lives of hundreds of kids, even over 1,000 kids on the other side of the globe in Kenya, Africa. Help me welcome to the platform Margaret Lewis from The Village Project. Come on up here, Margaret. She even got her own cover song intro this morning, Africa. Not many guests get that, Margaret. So Margaret is the director of The Village Project Africa, which is a mission that we are starting a partnership with. And part of our heading to Africa this summer was to really forge that partnership, see how we could be a part of this. And we were just blown away. I mean, blown away by what in 10, 11 years, the infrastructure and the excellence of school that's happening for kids that virtually have no life if this kind of thing isn't happening. And so, Margaret, give us just a short picture of the vision of Village Project Africa, why you started it, and where it is today.
So we started it because I was invited to this village, And for a few months, we started visiting home to home, and especially the widows. Mm-hmm. And we said, what do you need? What can we help you with? And they said, please educate our children. We can't read or write, and we can't help our children go to school. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to make a difference. So we started a preschool. And
this is a preschool class right here, by the way. 50 to 60 kids in each class. I'm amazing.
Exactly. And I thought that's all we were going to do. But God just led us on the next step, the next step. And you never know what excitement is around the corner. Till finally we got up. This year we're in class 11.
Which would be 11th grade.
11th grade. Mm-hmm. And these children have dreams. You heard some of the dreams. Mm-hmm. And our dream is for them to see their dreams come true. To become doctors, lawyers, teachers, pastors, whatever.
And so when we were visiting, interacting with the kids, as you're seeing some of these photos, I mean, these are kids that live off virtually nothing, $5 a month, maybe, in their home, living in a two-room hut. We visited some of the homes. One mom was so excited to bring us into her bedroom, which was also her kitchen. She was cooking beans in the corner, smoke billowing over into her bedding, and then she had a front room, and she just was so excited that we would come into her home. And yet you're giving this experience for these kids who have virtually nothing to begin to have a life and a chance. And these aren't just like, I want to maybe do something. Like, as you said, doctors. I want to be the best pilot in the country of Africa. Amazing.
I want to tell you about one girl. I'll interrupt you. Mm-hmm. So Mary, I interviewed Mary for a sponsorship. And one of the questions we ask is, what's your favorite food? Mm-hmm. And Mary answered chukulabora. And I'm like, what's chukulabora? I don't know that one. And the interpreter told me she's saying she likes any food because they don't have food in their home.
Gotcha.
And that's the way many of these children live. Mm-hmm. But their future is so bright because of this school.
Yeah. And so in this school, you'd be amazed. I mean, by the time these kids get up to 11th grade, 10th, 11th grade, we interacted. You may see some photos of us with some of the older students. You converse with them as if they're kids from across the street from HSC High School. I mean, these kids have been educated and are sharp, and you know, we're not just talking some rudimentary, you know, low education. We're talking these kids are being equipped for life.
One day we had a drone come take some pictures, and the kids actually knew what a drone was. I'm like, oh, how they learned that. it's pretty exciting.
It's amazing. So one of the purposes of us traveling to spend some time at Village Project this summer was, again, to see some of the partnership opportunities, which we're going to kick off in about a month with the Backpack Project. This is one of the ways that we here can connect and support kids in the school. Help us understand what the backpacks are going to serve and what they are.
Okay, the backpacks... in a country, in this village where I live, they don't get presents. They don't get to choose a pair of shoes or, you know, they don't get presents. But this backpack is the one time a year that they'll get a present. Mm. And the presents aren't extravagant. They're things they need to go to school. Some new pens, a notebook, and especially a Bible, because the Bibles are important to them.
Bibles are important. And so beginning in October, we're going to begin to have students, we're going to sponsor high school students. So we're going to have the faces of high school students, a little bit about them, where you can take a tag. The backpack will take $25, $30 to fill, another $20 to ship. And then you'll have the chance to take these, fill these, the actual will be these gifts that these children get. And it's just one of the ways that we can come alongside the school and be a part of this without ever leaving our bed, without ever leaving the United States, the comfort of Fishers. But from there, there's additional opportunities. So one of the things we just did this week is we sponsored a student. Mm-hmm. Talk about student sponsorship and how what that looks like and how it helps these students.
So a child, if they don't have a sponsor and they're trying to pay their way, they are sent home at least once a month to get money, which the family doesn't have. So they miss a lot of school. But when they get a sponsor, they are never sent home for money. And they are continually in school. And that helps them learn better. Mm-hmm. So the sponsorship actually helps grades go up. Mm-hmm. And then if they're a child that needs to be in the dorm, many of these children live in very difficult circumstances. Mm-hmm. So they live in the dorm, mm-hmm. where they get three meals a day, and they have good supervision and a warm bed with a blanket.
Yeah.
And they Then you can go on high school sponsorships or more.
Okay.
But they're all making a difference.
So a sponsorship begins at $20 with the younger kids for just education, and then $40 for education and lodging. And then high school is $40 for education, $80 for education and lodging.
Right.
And so for, you know, you might say, man, I want to be a part of changing a kid's life. This literally will change their trajectory. Year eight or eighth grade is significant.
Yes.
Why is this significant?
The Kenya school system, at the end of eighth grade, you take a large national exam. About 1 million children take it. And our children are doing very, very well on this exam. And that means they can go to high school. If they go to high school and make a certain grade, they can go on to college or university. But this exam in class eight is the crossroads. Mm-hmm. That's where they go this way or that way.
So students that don't do well basically go back to the fields, driving a cab, a taxi cab, a life of poverty for the rest of their life. Yeah. So it's why helping students be on site for the eighth grade year is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very important.
Yeah. All right. So you're going to have the opportunity to be a part of this. This is the sponsorship button on our website. If you want to be a part of sponsoring a child, we already had some sponsors come in this past week. You can hit that. You can look at children. As we kind of wrap up, Margaret, why did you do this? You know, you started this in a season late in your life. Mm-hmm. You're empty nest. Your kids are all out of your home. Like, why this season of your life?
A few years ago, I was going through a very dark time in my life. My husband died from a brain tumor. And I'm like, oh, we'd start dating when I was 15. I'm like, now what? But I could have, a friend said, why don't you go on a cruise? Others said, buy a condo in Florida, lots of things. But I said, I'm going to Africa. Talk about the norm. I'm not the norm.
Not the norm. Not the norm.
And it's the biggest blessing of my life ever. And each year it takes more time, but God's blessing me, just like I got to meet you.
Yeah, exactly. Now, interesting, Margaret and I go way back. So
way back.
My first church job, when I interviewed, Margaret and her husband attended that church. In fact, your husband was the chair of our board.
Yeah.
We had a dinner at Margaret and David's house, and she doesn't remember this, but I had peas at her house. She made peas. And I'm being interviewed, and I hated peas, and I thought, there is no way I'm going to eat these peas. But out of being polite and not wanting to offend, I ate these peas. They ended up being the best peas ever. I've introduced these peas to people who don't like peas, and she's like, I don't remember. So I made them for her when we were in Africa. Yeah. We actually had peas with buttered, you know, sautéed mushrooms and garlic and the whole bit. So we go way back, but just in the last few months have we really had the chance to reconnect. Now, something that was really fascinating when we were talking earlier this week. Margaret, by the way, lives in Fishers a couple months out of the year, and then the rest of the year in Africa, in Kenya, in Mukutano. But she said to me, she said, Kurt, I never saw myself as a leader. What has God done as he's awoken that inside of you?
I used to be the one that followed my husband. He was the one that always talked up front, and I'm following. And now, here I am talking to you, and God's just put me in a position of leadership, but he's also equipped me, which is wonderful.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, so we are beginning a partnership with Village Project, and one of the cool things is it can go anywhere from, you know, a backpack next month saying, hey, I just want to sponsor a child or two or three. You can take these to your office and do this, you know, create something to do some community initiative or something outside of yourself. If you're interested in sponsoring a child, it's one of the ways for our family. We've been looking for this. And so after we came home, we said, we want to pick a student that we can sponsor so we can begin to forge a relationship with her. And we picked somebody who wants to be a neurosurgeon. She wants to be the best neurosurgeon in the country of Kenya. And we want to be behind that. Additionally, next June or July, we haven't got the dates yet, but next summer we'll be taking a trip. We'll be taking a group from Cross Point to go on site to help deliver the backpacks, to just experience the school, go out into the homes of the widows and the children's homes outside the community. And if that's something you're interested in, you can actually mark that on the back of your connection card and we'll get you in the communication loop as more details come available. But we're trying to create some sustainable pathways where it's not just about us saying, hey, how can we go do something good, but how can we forge relationships where we're actually tapping into the eternal? We're touching things that have eternal trajectories, and there's multiple ways to connect on that. So you'll be hearing more about this over the next few weeks, months, years. On the back of your connection card are some next steps. One of the amazing things that I've been discovering in just in my short relationship with Margaret, but even as we've talked today, is you have to have margin to do these kinds of things. That's why margin's so important. To sponsor a student, you have to have financial margin. To sponsor, to be a part of making a trip across the world to get a global view of what's happening beyond our world here, you have to have margin. And so this whole idea of how do we make space for the things that are most important really ties in with our ability to tap into some of the things that God's doing. So as you look at the next steps on the back of your card, I want you to just say, God, what's the next step you want me to take this week? Maybe it is saying, hey, what are the things I need to say no to that everybody else is doing so I can say yes to some of the things that very few people are doing? Maybe it's having a conversation about how you filled the blank in light of whatever's most important for you this week. Is it wise for me to add or not wise for me to add this to my life right now? Let's start to get a longer view of how we commit our lives to the things that come at us every single day. There's an opportunity to serve, in your weekly as a volunteer card. There's opportunities here to touch the eternal right here at Crosspoint, with our kids here on the stage with the band, greeting people inside the front doors. I mean, ways that we look at our schedule and like, I don't have time. But if we use the filter, am I free? We never allow ourselves to be available for what God wants to do through our lives. And so these are just some of the walkouts I want to challenge, encourage, inspire you with today as you think about what God may be saying to you. I want to close reading you something. We took our 16-year-old, and she, you never know how things land, but she wrote an Instagram post right after we got back that, again, for me, for a dad's heart, made it all worthwhile. She said, 1 week from yesterday, I returned home from Kenya, and let me just say, wow. I don't even know what to say in my post about my trip because it was breathtaking. Let me just say that this place stole my heart. It's amazing to see the smiles on these kids' faces every single day. They all show up to school ready to learn, as happy as they can be, then they go home to barely nothing. Pretty much every single kid at the school has a rough home life, and none of them really have a lot, but these kids still show up every day with their hearts open to God and the best attitudes. These kids showed me that it doesn't take a lot to bring someone joy, and it was eye-opening to see how, with a lot of distractions in their community, they can still be brought together, love each other, and trust that God has a plan for their life. It's amazing to see God working in wondrous ways through these students. And I can't wait to see the impacts they will make on our world in the future. Much love to Mukutano and love to the Village Project Africa. Now for a dad, I'm like, that was well worth it. Because a global view, touching the eternal, stepping out of the norm, being able to begin to get into the realm where we see that God is so much bigger and wider than what we know here. So I'm going to pray for us here and just ask God to connect with us wherever we are, whatever we're processing today. Let's pray. God, thank you for this time. Thank you for Margaret, for her vision, for her willingness to get out of the norm, for her willingness to make the space. And in that space to move and follow your direction. God, for every single one of us sitting here today, we're probably thinking of the thousand things we've got to do or we've got to clear in order to do things like this. And yet, God, I just pray that you would help us. Give us the courage this week to be able to make some decisions, to say yes to some of the things that most people say no to say no to some of the things most people say yes to. Because God, we don't want to be normal. You call us to a different way of living. And so God, just help us to discern through that. Help us to know what to do with what you're moving on in our hearts right now. And God, we know that when we do that, we tap into the eternal. We tap into the things that you want to do in our lives. So we thank you for moments like this. And we pray for your spirit to just empower the moves that we make this week in your name. As we close, we're going to show you a video that actually your grandson and my daughter put together to teach the children at the school, at Heritage School, this song. And so we're going to take you into Mukutano, and you're going to see some of the sights and sounds and the 10,000 reasons why we should give God praise and joy. So let's watch.